from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, I turn to him, ESPN. You know, you have people on the show, and you learn a lot about them over the years, right? And what I think we just discovered about Jessica Benson is that if we were going to compare her to a quarterback, and maybe you have a list for me on underrated and overrated quarterbacks to get to later in the show.
I do.
I think she might be Anthony Richardson. Natural ability, natural talent, but you need to keep her on script, because when she gets off that script, we see the legend's repetition, and we see the classic line, he's still working right, which is like a pick six.
Again, very challenging question in our guest's defense.
Yeah.
Many aren't familiar with the great career of Todd Demers. Been here since 86.
Yes. So, again, the Anthony Richardson of Memphis Media.
I don't know what it is. Is that good to be?
He threw
a pick six.
Natural talent. He also threw a touchdown.
Just ain't throwing too many pick sixes.
He also went on a beautiful drive, you know, first opening drive touchdown.
Compared her to a more established NFL quarterback.
I mean, if somebody compared me to Anthony Richardson, I'd be honored. I really would be. Because his arm, bro. His arm. It's like I said, Joe Milton, okay? I mean, Anthony Richardson is, you know, top three pick, top four pick. Who would you compare Jessica to? What quarterback?
He's like Joe Milton heavy, bro.
He's
that. You know how they used to do heavy and, like, you know,
yeah,
like Bud heavy?
Yeah.
That's what he is. Until further notice.
Right. But Bud heavy.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny. It was a very revealing segment. There's no question about that.
I appreciate you.
From Jessica Benson. Everybody around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Yeah, we do have some Grizzlies news. We'll see how long we can get out of this one. Mamadi Diakite is gone. He, of course, was acquired as part of that Zaire Williams deal to Brooklyn. And so that is his legacy. That is forever his legacy in Memphis. He existed, as Jessica said, and the Grizzlies took advantage of his existence and found a buyer in Zaire Williams. Obviously, we know that the Nets are trying to capture the flag, the New Balance flag, and it just made sense. I mean, you know, the Grizz have done this before with players that were, you know, much more accomplished even than the great Mamadi Diakite. Remember Dwight Howard?
Yeah.
There have been a lot of those types of guys.
Yeah.
Pat Bev, I think we maybe acquired. He even tweeted about it. He's like, grit and grind, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah,
goodbye.
I think Iguodala falls into that category, right? But we pushed him away.
Yeah,
you're talking Grizz that got here but didn't get here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He was on that boat, right? He never played.
Did they want him to play, or was he?
I don't remember. No. And I thought some of these other guys were just transactional,
yeah,
that you were speaking of.
Yeah, Dwight Howard, I know, was transactional. Pat Bev was transactional. And Mamadi Diakite ultimately was transactional. Of course, you know, it opens up that 15th roster spot, you know, so you can keep that open and, you know, figure out what you want to do with it. I don't know if you had any ideas. Maybe you want to bring back Trey Jemison.
No, but the possibility that you can convert Scotty
right,
if you want to.
Could
you
do that.
You leave yourself some flex. We've talked about it, leaving that roster spot's open. The benefit of it, you've done that with GG. You did it with Vince.
Right.
Possibility you could get a backup point guard on a great deal, you know, if you want. And that's what they'll, you know, I'm sure we're going to find out this season.
Yeah, so you create a little bit of space under the tax.
I think he's worth it, do you? I mean,
I mean, sure.
No, he's not Vince and GG, and the hope isn't as high, but I could see Scottie Pippen Jr. backing up Ja for the next 2 to 3 years. If you can get him on one of those Vince GG deals at this point in his career, I think that's good, especially as you have to monitor the money. You need more low-cost deals, multiple years, as you get set to try to re-sign Jaren Jackson. So this is just dollars and cents.
Right.
I think
right.
It makes a lot of sense.
No,
especially as you're going to transition here. Your man Derrick Rose ain't going to play forever. So you're going to need real options behind Ja Morant.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think he is the backup point guard, you know, until he decides he doesn't want to be. But is it?
Sure, I think Marcus Smart more backup point guard than Derrick Rose is. But you go right ahead, believe in that.
Yeah, you know, for what he's meant to the city, you know, I think he definitely gets to decide when his time is up. Y'all keep trying to kick him off the team. Every day, y'all try to do this. It's just no loyalty in the city of Memphis. But you got a roster spot. You're under the tax. And for anybody out there that was hopeful, because I know how y'all get. Y'all tend to, get real attached to these players. You know, some of y'all were out here posting Virginia highlights of Mamadi Diakite with the Cisco hair. Y'all are like, look at what he could do on the high pick and roll. Look at what, you know, shut up. He was never going to be a part of this team.
Never.
He is gone, and the roster spot is open. Yeah, for to convert to the two-way, whatever you want to do, you have some options, and you have some room under the tax now as well. So this is what the Grizzlies do, right? They make good business decisions. This was a business decision. They wanted to get off of Zaire Williams' ridiculous salary for the lack of production that he was offering. Got to get under that tax. Got to get under that apron, dog. And so they did that.
Definitely. And the canard, that helped you with the canard.
And canard as well, yeah. So both of those things, yeah. Look, and they took advantage, you know. They waited and they waited and they waited, and they finally found a partner in Brooklyn that was going to be willing to take Zaire Williams because they want to be the number one pick. They want to have the number one pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah, was that what did you say for the flag?
Capture the flag.
Was that already out there? Is that
no, yeah, I think that's...
Okay, that was original, I was going to say
didn't make
you need
that
to go
up.
Ahead and hashtag that.
No, I definitely
gotcha.
Did not make
I
that up.
It
but it just makes sense, yes, right?
It's pretty... That one flows.
Yeah, so...
Capture the flag.
Yeah.
The New Balance flag.
That is the New Balance flag
well
now.
Well said.
Yeah, so anyway, there you have it. Diakite is gone.
Next story.
It's NFL cutdown day. I can't wait until we find out who the Raiders cut. Cutdown deadline is 3 p.m. today here Central Time, I believe. The Packers did make a move beforehand. And I guess they felt like... And you know how much I love Matt LaFleur. Felt like he didn't have enough behind Jordan Love. He came out of the preseason feeling like that. And so he goes and makes a move and gives up a 2025 seventh-round pick to get Malik Willis, the one-time possible future of the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Maybe some never believed.
Oof.
I don't think I was ever really in that boat that thought there was a high ceiling on Malik. But I did, you know, at the time, I thought perhaps... but that obviously wasn't going to work out, and he's had enough time to show it. And what if they went out and got Will Levis right after? And so the writing's been on the wall for Malik Willis for a long time, especially there as it relates to his future with the Tennessee Titans. I think this is a good spot for him behind Jordan Love. And you do. I know that, you know, I wouldn't say it, but Matt LaFleur has had success, and he certainly saw it last year. You know, after a rocky start, man, he settled Jordan Love down, and he shut me up. You know, the Green Bay shut me up last year. And so I've had to back off of my criticism of Matt LaFleur, at least for the time being. Remember, too, he had one of the youngest team in the playoffs and one of the youngest teams in terms of advancing and everything else. And so that's a young core, and I like having a little bit of depth behind, you know, Jordan Love, a guy like Malik Willis that, no, you're not going to give him the whole playbook and feel comfortable with him as your guy if Jordan's out for a whole season.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to go out and get help. But, you know, in a pinch or maybe even a little bit longer, I can see Malik, you know, you know, whatever you got to do, the offense, putting in, you know, adjusting it around him, I could see them getting by with Malik Willis, certainly better than the situation that they had. It was Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt.
Yeah, I mean, they drafted Michael Pratt, you know.
Not good enough,
yeah,
obviously, to be ready.
I guess they
right
drafted
now.
Both, but I watched pretty much all.
Yeah, Clifford's just second year, but you're saying they drafted him too?
Yeah, they both were drafted.
Last year.
I
guess I'd forgotten that they took another one last year.
Yeah, so I don't know. I watched a little bit. I mean, I think I watched every Titans game, every Titans preseason game. And I just never felt like Malik looked like he had really taken much of a step. Not that he's, like, awful. It, you know, there is some talent there.
Who do you have at Liberty? Hugh, right?
Yeah. So there is some talent there, no doubt about it. But he has not maximized it in Nashville. He had the crack at it last year.
It's just it's RPO all day with him,
yeah.
And you know, can you master it from the pocket? Can you win a game there? He hasn't shown he can do that.
Yeah.
And like you said, you haven't seen an advancement toward that.
Exactly.
You haven't seen a development toward that.
Yeah.
And you're always, you know, whether your guy's going to be that typically, and that's his strong suit, or he has to have a component of that. You just haven't seen. I'm in agreement with you. You haven't seen any sign of it, really, from Malik Willis. He bails out of that pocket.
Yeah,
you know, that's and there's still too much of that in him.
Yeah. So I mean, it's interesting that Matt LaFleur spent it's the seventh rounder, but it's interesting that he.
No, again, Matt with the RPO stuff, you can give him enough. You know, you ain't comfortable with him being the guy, and you know that's an extreme fall off. But certainly more experience than what they had in there with Pratt and the other kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't want to see him.
Right.
But Matt LaFleur, I think, could make it work in a way that Hugh Freeze could make it work and, man, you know, give this kid, make him look good in that spot.
Yeah, Michael
realize
Pratt
his limitation.
Threw a pick in the last preseason game, and then Sean Clifford was 6 of 14, 53 yards, did throw a touchdown. But
well, and you said Denver was tearing them up, not just in the game, but in the joint practices.
Yep.
So I can't imagine that either one of them performed well there.
No, they definitely did not.
But he was talking about this 2 days ago before they made the move, and everybody sensed that they were going to make a move. Do you go after a guy like, did you see it? The Patriots cut Bailey Zappe. I told you he wasn't long for this world.
Yeah.
And clearly no one was going to trade draft capital
Correct.
To get him. But when you draft Joe Milton, right, to go with Drake May, and you've got Jacoby Brissett there as the sacrificial lamb, there was absolutely no room for the very sorry Bailey Zappe. And so he's available, and clearly the Titans think that a Malik Willis, they hold him at a higher value than a Bailey Zappe because they're willing to give up a draft pick for him, whereas Bailey's just cut. You could have picked him up.
Yes. Bailey stinks, and he was not going to be there over Money Milton. And that's just something that you needed to come to.
You wonder where the Titans have cut Malik Willis, I guess, would be the only question.
Whether they would have?
Whether they would have cut him. Yeah, whether you could have gotten him for free.
They definitely would have.
Is the only question.
Yeah, because Mason Rudolph.
Did you have to give up a pick at all would be the question.
Yeah
for Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. But obviously they felt there was good enough value there. Maybe they got another seventh rounder.
And look, the other thing is, like, you know, if a guy like Malik hits the waiver wire, you know.
That's what you don't want to have to deal with the other interest in the other teams.
Exactly, because there probably would have been as a former second-round guy. Huh. So that way I would give up a totally non-committal seventh. But, yeah, Mason Rudolph completely outplayed him in the preseason. Mason Rudolph started a playoff game last year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
I don't hate Mason Rudolph.
I don't either. I mean, he's serviceable. You know, I mean, he's not bad. If the quarterback gets hurt, he can come in. He can run
the
offense.
That's who my man Garrett went after, didn't he? Miles Garrett.
Yes. Yeah, with the helmet. Yeah. Yeah, it feels like they were like rotating.
But didn't we prove that Mason didn't say it? Wasn't that kind of proven?
I think
Mason
didn't say
Miles Garrett was accusing him of?
Yeah, I think that got.
And my man didn't back down, did he?
No, bro. Miles was
Mason.
Mason was he stood right in there and took it. You know, I mean,
there's something about that guy.
Yeah, he's slow as hell.
I'd take him as my two all day long.
He's a great two.
Yeah,
he's probably one of the better backups in the league.
Yeah. Everybody's trying to make Tyson Bagent that. Tyson Bagent hadn't done anything. I'd have Mason Rudolph over Tyson Bagent at this point for best twos in the league.
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to look
up. Let me tell you who it ain't. Trey Lance.
No, it ain't.
Saw enough of him. Cowboys fans.
You saw all of him.
Man.
You saw all of him, bro.
Better not see him again.
I have to. Mason Rudolph was fifth this year in preseason in passer rating.
Bro.
I'll tell you who the best backup quarterback in the NFL is.
Well, I mean, Gardner Minshew is that. He's the new Fitzpatrick.
He's the star.
But you and I know what he is an all-star backup.
Yeah.
Being pushed into starting situations.
Yeah, but I'm gonna tell you who it really is though.
He's the Fitzpatrick.
Mac Jones.
Stop.
Mac Jones, bro. He is the best backup in the league, bro.
It's because of Peterson.
I mean, is or was his career because to this point because of Belichick?
Well, you can make a great case they had no plan. I've touched on that. I had no confidence in Mac, but what I also acknowledge is that the Patriots had no plan for him.
Maybe Stidham in Denver would have a say in that title. But it's like, yeah, Mac Jones, Mason Rudolph. Oh, Sam Howell is a really good
backup. That is a good one. Yeah,
yeah, to Geno Smith. You know, Jameis Winston's in that discussion for sure. So there are some good ones out there, you know. And what's crazy, by the way, is that, you know, Tommy DeVito was a guy who last year was starting games, you know, for the New York Giants, for example, right?
Yeah.
And he's on the cut line.
As he should be.
I mean, it's kind of crazy how quick it goes, man. It falls fast. But yeah, it's definitely a new start for Malik, and, you know, he'll probably never play, but better situation.
Let's stick in the NFL. There was an interesting survey over at ESPN. They surveyed 103 NFL players, asked them 6 questions about NFL quarterbacks. Now, some of these aren't much of a surprise at all. Asked them who's the GOAT, Brady or Mahomes. Brady got 85 votes, Mahomes 7. You would figure most of the NFL players, even today, would go with Brady still. In terms of top 3, Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow, in terms of playing right now, that's not a surprise. How about this? The top vote getters for the most overrated quarterback as voted by his NFL peers, according to ESPN. Again, quarterbacks, the guy that got the most votes for being overrated. Who would we guess here? Little trivia question for you. I've got the top 3. Really, it's first and then a tie for second. And let me tell you what, the votes are all close, so they're all jumbled in there.
Yeah. QBs, you said?
QBs. This is the NFL. All these questions were about QBs, the best, who's the GOAT,
Dak.
Top 3, all that stuff. But most overrated quarterback, you would say Dak, huh?
I don't mind
Dak being in here.
Yeah.
I'll let you know, Dak, he's not among the top vote getters.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm going to say Tua.
I mean, he does win in the regular season.
Yeah, he does.
Tua is tied for second with 10 votes.
Number 2.
Very good. Because well all he does is dink and dunk.
Yeah
that's as true. Some of us who watch it know.
Yeah.
All right, most overrated.
But he stayed healthy and he deserved the money.
Purdy?
Brock Purdy, I would think, is on this. He got 6 votes. It does not put him in the top 3.
I guess he's not, like, really rated, right? Like,
yeah.
I guess
there are some that we have higher, rated higher, that were higher.
There's one guy that's, like, a standalone.
Mm. Oh, no. The one beat out the 2 that are tied for second. You named one of the 2 that are tied for second. Mm. Number 1 beat him out by just 1 vote.
Just 1 vote.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's really jumbled up.
Let's see. Most overrated.
I'm surprised y'all haven't said
Lamar.
Said 1. Lamar is
they
not.
Love Lamar.
Lamar's a 2-time MVP.
Yeah, he's a stud.
He does not have any votes on here.
Okay. Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert is a great guess, and he would be 4th. He got 9 votes.
Okay.
Again, this was, we have 2 that are tied for second, so Herbert would be 4th. Herbert is a great guess and a guy that many have crowned top 5.
Yeah.
Should not be there.
Oh, it's Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence is next on the list below Herbert.
Damn it.
With 8 votes.
I mean, I'm getting the
names. You still don't have number 1. I cannot
Son
believe y'all haven't said number 1. And there's another guy in the
not a rookie.
These aren't rookies,
this
right?
This is not a rookie.
No.
It better not be my boy CJ Stroud.
Heck no, it's not CJ Stroud.
I'm just saying, like he's highly rated.
Okay, he's off
not top 3, but one of them is a Lyft client.
Oh, damn.
Now, I can't believe.
Damn.
Now, he's not
Kyler,
top 3.
Kyler would have been on the list for sure.
He got 6 votes.
Yeah.
There's another one. I cannot believe we have still not seen this dude do anything in this new place. The man was cold.
New place.
Aaron?
No.
Okay.
Good guess, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good guess to the criteria I just gave you.
Yeah, I mean.
AFC.
In his new place?
Old place he was AFC, new place he AFC. Come on, man. Best division football. Come on. Now I'm narrowing it down. Now, he's not top. I'm giving you this one, but he would be high on my list. I would have set him up there. He was great early on. He had a little bit of an issue. And now we just don't see anything.
Russell Wilson?
No.
I give up, dude.
Who you got?
Cleveland.
Oh, Baker. Yeah, he's
Baker
number 1.
No, Deshaun Watson.
Oh, I'm getting it. I'm all jumbled up.
I forgot about Deshaun. That's how poorly he performed.
Well, I've kind of taken you around the bend, so I got you a little mixed up like Jess right now. Yeah. And that's why I like you, because I don't I don't usually get you like this.
Yeah.
And so, but I still want you to concentrate.
Okay, okay.
Because number one's still out there to get. Number one. And I tell you what, we haven't even got the other guy that's tied with Tua. So I want to take a couple final guesses from you guys, and then we will reveal.
Mm.
I figured that this one would be the most interesting. Who NFL players say is overrated?
Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to put yourself into who do NFL players believe is highly rated?
Right.
And so who are they?
But he's not as good.
Yeah.
Well, right. Herbert is along those lines.
Exactly.
And we said
Josh Allen.
He got it.
He's number one?
He's number one with 11 votes. There's still one man out there that's tied with Tua.
Mm.
They're expecting big things from him.
Is it a rookie?
No.
It can't be rookies.
Nope. Been to a Super Bowl.
Our guy in Philadelphia.
Jalen Hurts?
Hurts.
Wow.
Jalen got 10 votes tied with Tua.
Jalen Hurts would have maybe been a good guess for the first one. That would have maybe I actually might have.
All right, real quick, most underrated. Two tied for number one.
I mean, Mahomes?
Nope. Most underrated quarterback?
Yeah, I still think he's underrated.
Is this the one Dak's in?
What?
I still think he's even.
Dude, you think he's going to win 10 Super Bowls?
That's what I'm saying.
What are you talking about? We hold
saying.
Him way up. We're asking if he's the GOAT with Tom. What are you talking about?
You know what? It's Matt Stafford.
That's a great guess, and you nailed it on he is tied for first with 14 votes. Most. Thank you. And you have come around.
Yes.
If we've done nothing else over our 8 years
That's
together,
right.
it's you coming around on
That's
Matt
right.
Stafford and
That's
how
right.
good he is.
Yes.
I'm so happy about that.
He's still tied for first, though.
He's tied for first. There's one more man out there if you want to take a stab.
Underrated.
A little bit younger and
Goff, right?
It's not Goff. Goff is a great guess. He's tied for third. Brad, you're actually doing really well at this.
Goff, I would have.
Brad is really a resource here.
Yeah, Goff is interesting. He's
tied for third with two other dudes.
I like Goff now. Goff.
I've had to say he's underrated.
Yeah,
the guy put up numbers last year.
I agree.
NFC.
NFC.
No. Geno?
Ooh.
No.
Ooh. No.
Yeah, I don't see any votes for Geno.
People don't like Geno.
I mean, no. And John, you don't like Geno, so that was ridiculous.
What about Dak?
Dak is actually on the list, but he's down in other top vote getters with four.
Okay, so you got four.
Yeah, he's behind Herbert, who's sixth. We have two that are tied for first, and then a four-way tie for third. So we're just looking for
Purdy in this one?
That's it.
Purdy.
Yeah.
Because people aren't thinking about Purdy.
I was going to say Kirk Cousins.
Purdy and Stafford, two of the most underrated. Kirk Cousins is tied for third with seven votes.
Yeah.
Goff, love Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how Bryce Young is on here tied with Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff.
He's the only rookie that has, our 2023
second
pick.
Year guy. Yeah.
He's AR didn't show up. Levis didn't show up. CJ Stroud didn't show up.
Didn't have any votes for any of those guys.
I'm surprised that CJ Stroud. I guess you wouldn't say he's overrated, and you really can't say he's underrated right now.
It is weird because we said Purdy's on both lists, isn't he?
Yes. He's somewhere on both lists.
He's a guy.
Which makes sense because he's just kind of a
top trash talker. Who do the NFL players say talk the most trash among NFL quarterbacks?
Who is it?
Yeah. He won it pretty much by a landslide, 9 votes more than the second place voter.
Mahomes.
No, he is not top three. Mahomes is fourth, though. He is on the list, and we know he does. He talks to your boy on that Raiders line, Max Crosby.
I'll say Joe Burrow.
Mm-mm. Burrow is fifth with 4 votes.
Burrow.
But it drops off significantly from him to Mahomes, from Mahomes to him. We got top three guys.
Is it
who's talking that trash out there?
Trash talking in the NFL.
Baker.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield is second. Very good guess.
Well done, John.
He's second. That's a good guess.
Yeah.
Number two, he does. The players say he's still talking that mess down in Tampa.
Is it a receiver?
No, it's
quarterback.
All of these are quarterbacks.
All
quarterback questions.
All right.
Josh Allen.
Number one, 26 votes. Josh be out there talking.
So that's probably why.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers
number
talking
three
that ish.
With 15.
That's where the overrated and those things kind of intersect, right?
Yeah.
Like these players are sick of him talking and they think he's overrated because he never won anything, right?
Yeah.
So
you could, just NFL quarterback talk is its own almost sport.
It is.
Yeah. To cover.
It really
is. Like the way we rank them, how we, you know, it's just, again, the king of everything is NFL.
It's a fun list you got there.
But it just shows you that position, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how these players sort of see it, man. It stacks up with most of what you said. Only place where I was a little bit disappointed with you was on overrated there, but otherwise you performed very well.
I had a couple.
And if we're grading Brad here, want to give Brad probably a B plus or A minus.
Yeah, man, I should have said
quite a few, though.
But I think that your host did a good job of.
You were anchoring that.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is kind of steering you different ways and throwing different. I had you a little bit. Remember,
I thought we were back in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield.
I had you backpedaling. Man, say Baker Mayfield in Cleveland.
Going back to 2018, man.
Yeah.
Where are we at on him now in Tampa? Like, you guys like him?
No, I like Atlanta.
You like Atlanta in that division. Okay.
Yeah, I think again, you know.
Although he looked good in the preseason this last game.
Yeah.
He got paid and it worked out for him, but
right.
I just don't really think.
Where's the drive now?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, what's it for?
Mm-hmm. You know, receivers are aging out. So
I still believe in Josh Allen, by the way.
I think for Baker, especially where it got to, his whole thing is going to be proving that he belonged, right?
Yeah.
That's success for him. It's not going and winning a Super Bowl and trying to chase down Patrick Mahomes and all that. I just don't see that in his future. It's more like I proved that, you know that I was worthy of that first pick, or at least that I belong in this league. I think that's what he's proven and probably the height of his career.
Right? Right.
I mean, he'll win a little bit more down in Tampa, but like you said, now that he's been paid, I just wonder what the motivation is.
It's a good question, yeah. And he'll have to prove that.
And he's proved that. He's back.
New OC, too, now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Again.
They still got Godwin and Mike Evans, though, right?
They do.
So they're going to get it up and down the field.
Yeah, but it's just like, I look at that roster, I just kind of see this average.
Especially defensively.
Just an average team.
They've always had a strong defense, and you can't bank on that anymore.
They're probably locked into winning 8 or 9 games, like one of the two, you know, unless there's injury. So it's just a matter of which one of the flip a coin, they're going to win 8 or 9 games.
They cashed in. They got their Super Bowl with Tom.
Exactly, right.
Yep.
So anyway, yeah, that was a fun exercise. That was a fun exercise to see who was overrated and underrated according to NFL players at quarterback. That was a good time.
Next story.
Travis and Jason Kelce are going to have a good time because they just got a brand new deal with New Heights. That's their podcast. And they have signed a brand new deal with Amazon's Wondery that is reportedly worth more than $100 million over 3 years. So the way that works is they gave over ad sales and distribution rights. So they get exclusive ad sales. They get distribution rights. They get $100 million over 3 years in exchange. They started this podcast in 2022. It has won multiple awards. And obviously, I will say this. This is a direct example. I mean, A, they're good together, right? They're fun. They're lively, all that. Like, people enjoy the banter, the back and forth. But I think a large part, and I think we'd be fooling ourselves if we wouldn't acknowledge this, is the Taylor Swift effect.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that Taylor Swift...
Boy, that's how they got up to 100 million.
Yeah, like, Taylor Swift fans consume this podcast. That's who I would bet their majority audience is.
It's probably changed the whole the show in terms of audience. It's changed everything. They started their football podcast. Sure, you're going to talk about their life off the field and everything else. But
yep.
Now, when you bring in the Swifties,
exactly,
like
right.
Even I'm sure too what they talk about.
Exactly,
they're going to make sure they spend time on Kelce and his girlfriend, right?
100%.
I mean, on Travis, obviously, and girlfriend, because they want to feed that audience now that is now pumping.
They know,
dude. They got so many new clicks and views and all that.
No question.
And these ad folks ain't. Stupid.
This is not a.
So you're right. I mean, this is
not a football podcast.
The Swifty thing has opened this thing up to. That's what opened it up to the possibility of getting
exactly
$100 million.
Like they could have had a platform, right? If they would have been paid to have a platform,
they'd have been paid just fine and done it for a long time.
But in terms of being what they are right now, and it's interesting that there's not really much of an acknowledgement about this, in the stories that you see. But I just feel like. The Wondery CEO, Jen Sargent, says it's a cultural phenomenon. Well, why do you think it's that? It's not because it's a sports podcast, right? It's not because it's a football podcast. It's not even that they're funny together. That's all good. And again, we'll get you a platform. Mm-hmm. But the reason, I've seen some of this, this is why we podcast. Like, I've seen some agents tweet that. This is why we podcast. This is why we... No, dude. This has nothing to do with this is why we podcast. This is why you date Taylor Swift.
okay?
Yeah.
This is why you do it.
Look at his jersey sales since he got with Swift.
If I guarantee you this.
Sold.
If Travis Kelce, I didn't think this in the beginning, but I think it's undeniable now. It is now a business. It is the Travis Kelce Taylor Swift pair is now a business. And if that ever went south now for Travis Kelce, it would hurt him. It would hurt him. His podcast would decrease untold amounts in popularity.
Well, that's why he's good that he's got the money.
Yeah.
What is it, three-year deal?
Three-year deal, $100 million.
He's got it locked in.
So he and Travis, you know, he and Jason get $50 million, right, a piece over 3 years. But if that ever changed, you know what I'm saying, there ain't going to be a new three-year, $100 million deal with Wondery, okay?
No, but they'll still get banked, though.
I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm hating. It's a very good podcast from what I've seen. I've enjoyed the clips. Like I remember even before Travis started dating Taylor Swift that it was like I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, this is a fun little show.
I hated on it at first, but
yeah.
How can you hate on it when it's bringing in so much cash?
Right, but
know what they're doing.
It's only bringing in cash. Like if I started dating Taylor Swift tomorrow,
doesn't it look like they're kind of in love?
This show would be worth $100 million.
But you don't think that they're just faking it with the love anymore, right?
I don't know.
That's why I've had to back off.
I'm just saying that it's become a business now.
It absolutely is.
And you know, it's good for both.
Who was the last business couple like that?
It was like Pitt and Angelina Jolie, maybe. I don't know. Ben Affleck and J-Lo.
Bro, they broke up.
I know. We lost them again.
Dude, she has six engagement rings now.
From different partners?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think maybe even a couple of them from Affleck, maybe more than one from him.
That's crazy.
They've done this before.
I mean, she is the Jordan
but what I'm
of
saying,
engagement
if
rings.
If you talk about the millions of dollars just in the six rings, TMZ's written about it, everything else, she doesn't give them back.
Damn.
Do you think when we spend that much money on a ring and the relationship goes south that the woman should have to then give the ring back? Because we're talking about a house, we're not talking about the $10,000 you spent or the $5,000 you spent.
Right.
Do we have to get that back, man?
Even
if we're millionaires like Ben Affleck, I'm assuming.
I mean, my question to J-Lo would be, why do you want to keep it? You know, why do you want to keep them if the engagement breaks off? You know what I'm saying?
Maybe that's her thing. Maybe she's become a collector.
That's funny.
Clearly is.
I'm just saying, man. It could be something that
she's clearly collecting, bro.
That's fair.
You know, like you got a thing for feet. You know, maybe she's got a thing for rings.
But you know, again,
it happens.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
I didn't mean to sidetrack you with the J-Lo news. We were talking about power couples.
Yeah.
That's where we were, John.
Yeah. And
like you and Sam.
That's right. But not worth the. I'm not getting $100 million because I'm married to Sam. I tell you that right now,
dude. As long as he's got his brother, though, they're cemented. They won't. You're right. They won't get this next. They won't get another $100 million if he's not going with Taylor. But they've raised to a level now of our culture where it's sort of like Snoop. It feels like it'll be cemented. Somebody's going to pay them, whether it's NBC or whatever else. And let's be real, too. Travis is going to have just as much of a broadcast career afterwards, you know, as Jason does right now. And we know how coveted he was. Hell, Jason is one of the reasons why it needed that RG3. And, you know, the other folks got laid off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, how coveted he was, Travis will be the same way.
Yeah.
These guys are set for life.
They certainly are.
We could say what Taylor's done, but they're set for life.
But
a couple of brothers that went to Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah.
Mama never would have pictured it for them too.
Crazy. And this was.
They used to fight all the time too. I bet she used to get tired of them as brothers coming up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Never think they'd go do that.
Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it?
I got another one if you're done.
$100 million.
Next story.
I think this is very interesting, and I think you will find it very interesting. Maybe you've read it over at ESPN. They've picked it up. Hey, mom. Of a 2026 quarterback recruit who is committed to play for the Tennessee Volunteers is suing the state of North Carolina over its restrictions over NIL and public school athletes getting their share of it. Her name is Rolanda Brandon. She filed the complaint last week in Wake County Superior Court. Her son, Tennessee fans will know this, Tennessee football fans, Faison Brandon, ranked number 32 in the ESPN Junior 300, number 4 pocket passer in the class. Again, already committed to Tennessee. the North Carolina State Board of Education and the Department of Public Instruction are named as the defendants. Essentially, in public schools, you can't take NIL in North Carolina. However, in private schools, you can.
So that's a damn double standard.
She's got them.
I think you win that lawsuit.
She's going to win it, and eventually, and it will open up what she's going to do. And she's, I mean, frankly, folks in North Carolina, other parents of prospects at public schools should be thanking her for what she's doing, because she's pointing out this huge discrepancy between, now how are you going to, and in most cases, let's be real too, in private school atmosphere, most of those, not all of them, but most of those are going to be in a spot where maybe they could, you know, they don't need that NIL as much.
Mm.
And what you're telling me is, like, a lot of those rich kids that are out there, they can go capitalize and get more, but the kids that would need it more in public schools, nah, you're public, you can't have any. Like, there's no way that's going to stand up, I wouldn't think, in a court of law. And it's crazy that this hasn't been challenged sooner. And so, again, Tennessee fans, this applies to you, obviously. This kid, apparently pretty good. And just going to be another in a long line of hot quarterback recruits that you guys have gotten. I'm eager to see the Nico era, you know, really start full fold this year. But this kid, I think, is going to, you know, change certainly the way that they're doing business in public schools in North Carolina. And we've talked about Tennessee. You can do it here, but it can't be affiliated with your school.
Right.
Is our understanding of the law. Don't have anything that prohibits public schools from getting into the private schools can. North Carolina's about to get a little lesson in catching up here. I can't believe that it's been on the books that private schools can do this, but public can't. And good for this family, good for mom that they're taking this thing to court.
Yeah, I mean, we need equal. That's what we need.
Yep. Brandon family going to get paid.
They are.
If they don't get this thing settled before then.
That's right. So go get it.
Yep.
Go get it is what I say.
Oh, a little bit more high school news real quick, because this is something Brad would know, and it probably doesn't make our day-to-day, but because it's Tennessee again, and in this case it's local, Brad knows them real well, has seen quite a bit of them. Houston High, he's a two-sport athlete, but his focus is baseball. Chandler Day committed yesterday to the national champion Tennessee Volunteers. Go ahead and give them a round of applause. I know John doesn't like to. I've got my orange on today. Today we'll say it's not for the WNBA. We'll say it's for Chandler Day, who is an absolute stud prospect here locally. We should be cheering him on. Senior left-handed pitcher, also is the star stud quarterback for that Houston team. I think he tweeted it out yesterday.
Yep.
Brad Chandler Day over there.
By the way.
I'm extremely – well, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and his coach just got paid. Tony Vitello is now the highest-paid baseball coach in college.
How about that?
It was a $5 million deal,
good,
which is
him.
Ridiculous for baseball money.
That's why once you get that championship, I got to pay.
Chandler Day's a stud. He could have played football. He throws like 92 miles an hour. I mean, he's an absolute monster.
6'2", 200 pounds, a 200-pound pitcher. Like we said, he's an absolute stud on the football field as well. Their quarterback, but he has long known that they were going to focus on baseball, as he tweeted yesterday. I'm extremely blessed to be in the position I am right now. I'd like to thank my family, friends, coaches, and everyone that has recruited me along my high school journey. He's one of the best prospects in town, no matter what, regardless of sport. And again, he is going to the national champion Vols, probably going to get selected at
left-handed
some point in the Major League Baseball draft.
Yeah, a left-handed kid, so he's good.
No doubt.
Love it. All right, we'll come back. We got Jeff Calkins, 125. Looking forward to catching up with him and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.7 FM, ESPN.
On Sunday, September 8th, the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL begin the 2024 season live on 92.9 FM ESPN. Pregame begins at 3 p.m. with kickoff at 3:30. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys take on Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns. The Cowboys and the NFL live Sundays on 92.9 FM ESPN.
And TikTok. Black time moving.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cross town, cross country, they can handle it for you. Give them a call. 316-6196 is the phone number. There's no BS when it comes to Black Tie Moving. They show up when they say they're going to show up. They stay on the budget that you guys agreed to. And it's just that simple. I've used them 2 times. I'll use them 3 times if I need to. If I ever have to move out of that house, if these interest rates ever get a little close to what they used to be, maybe I'll be on the move, man. I don't know where I'm going. But I do know I'll be using Black Tie. Get on the schedule. 316-6196. Black Tie Moving, change and moving in the city of Memphis. Call today. Someday you're going to get on a hype video, man. I mean, I know you got the Dave Green, Barry Manilow, you know, voice comparison.
Barry White.
My bad.
Very different.
Barry White, Copacabana. My fault, dog. But you can't get on the hype video. That is still something that you got to work on.
I remember the Firestone.
That's... There you go.
What's my guy's name on Hard Knocks? Because Joe Buck was acknowledging him, and they had a little back and Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, and then
there's an NFL Network guy that's been a long time. I've never been asked. Everybody says great voice, but I've never been asked.
Can you give us the undefeated this time open again?
This time they picked. What if I told you?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I would really need to, you know, get some water, clear out the pipes. But I feel like I could do it, yeah. Did you know who was granted the honor this year?
Who was it?
Well, I'm just saying.
Is it Isaac Bruce?
No. Gary Parrish.
GP.
Hey!
Don't pull it up. Let's go and get hyped.
We got this is the Tigers one?
Well, yeah. Go on the Tigers Twitter. Tigers. I don't think John intended to go here.
I definitely intended to go here.
GP's got a good voice for that.
It's not just GP, but they did use his voice. I think some cuts probably of what he had said on the show about. Also use,
Remember the Firestorm.
They use my man, Frank Bonner. And as we know, Frank has a much better voice than me.
No,
let's be real. Much more appropriate. He covers the team.
He does. You do not.
I just remember.
It's on their Twitter account. Huh?
The idea that James Earl Jones. It's like a 2-minute one.
It's go time now.
That's it, baby.
Okay, let me pull this thing up.
It's going to get you hype. Let's go.
Really? Okay. Let me, Gary, going to get you hype.
This is our first listening.
This is the audio of the hype video.
No curse words, so we're good.
Okay. Here we go.
Well, we play those too.
That's good, y'all.
Yeah, look, everything has come together for this to be a special year for Memphis.
They've got this team with this experienced quarterback coming off a big bowl win at the exact same time where the playoff is expanding.
Well, we are our own identity, right? In 2024, we got a lot of work to do.
I like these guys, man. They got a real chance to put Memphis on a lot of people's radar.
Ken Cramsey's offense is a high-octane offense, one of the better offenses in the country.
You've got the most talented roster that Seth Hennigan has probably ever had in his last year with Memphis in the same season. That you have a legitimate shot to be on the biggest stage of college football.
They're the favorite to represent the Group of Five in the 12-team college football playoff.
We can't allow those outside expectations to affect us this upcoming season. We know the work we put in.
Continue to work, man. You know, we're a byproduct of Memphis, man. We're blue collar. We obviously continue to compete. We had a bunch of new guys coming in, getting to see new looks, new abilities, new talents.
I never got a chance to be a part of a team that's consistently winning, and I chose Memphis because we have a chance to do that this year. As a defense, we play on the dark side.
On the dark side.
We play with a chip on our shoulder. We play on the edge. We look to be relentless and unshakable in the face of adversity.
I'm excited to see how explosive the offense is going to be this season, and it's just going to be really, really fun to watch.
It was really easy for me to come in and just build a new brotherhood with all my brothers, and it's a blessing for real.
Feeling's a little bit different this year. Everybody in the room, everybody in the building, really. We've been working long nights, early mornings. Everybody been putting in the work, trying to be the best we can.
It's definitely a special feeling in regards to just the excitement and the energy and the leadership that's amongst this team right now. It's kind of exciting to see. You know, we're looking forward to it. No, days away, but it's almost here now.
Coach Sufit always says, nobody has higher expectations than we do ourselves. So it's go time now.
all in.
Okay. See, it did the job, because I can tell both of you guys got goosebumps.
Yeah, goosebumps. Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's not the best.
I know, What do you mean it's all right? It was good. Right.
I mean, that's why I came here, to get that check.
It's all right. It's all right. I mean, here, I
get you ready. That's what a hype video.
What got to do to get on the montage? Do I need to be like, let me try.
Could have been better if you were on there, you're saying.
I'm going to do what Gary did. You have a quarterback, and you have a coach, and you have an offensive line,
really cool.
And you have a defensive line, and you have this team that's full of players that have come together that are going to play the game of football this season in Memphis in the American Athletic Conference with goals of winning all of them.
Cut the tape, dog.
I mean, I'm just making it easy. You have a quarterback, and then you have a running back, and you have a wide receiver. You have a group of receivers, and then you got tight ends. Okay, and you got left guards and right guards and centers tackles and left tackles, and you have a staff
with expectations.
You have a general manager. You have a team chaplain. You have an offensive coordinator. You had two defensive coordinators. Now you just have the one. And so all of these men come together every week.
What?
Isn't that what Gary was saying?
It must be a staple because you keep going.
Isn't that what he said?
Pretty much.
You have a quarterback and you have a team. Like, but no, it's fine. I mean, listen,
they've got this team with this experienced quarterback coming off a big bowl win at the exact same time where the playoff is expanding.
Well, we are.
Yeah, I mean, he has the detail.
I was going to say you need a couple more details. It was a very good game.
He adds the detail of the timing of it, right? Yes, but he did start with you have a quarterback.
That sounded very familiar.
You know what I'm saying?
Have his cadence.
Can I just say this? Last night I went to the Touchdown Club, and this might be a reporter thing, and it's laying out facts. You did this as a reporter for the Commercial Appeal. Barnhart did 30 minutes with a slide presentation of what you just said. So there's a playoff now.
Yes.
And there's 12 teams just like this. So you might look here. The first four, they were stunned.
Yep.
Like the Touchdown Club viewers, and it was a fun night, don't get me wrong, but like they were enamored, blown away by the 12th. Really?
Yeah.
I saw his president. He had Memphis in there, didn't he?
Memphis. Yeah. He has Memphis in. Yeah.
I wonder if he switches that out for everywhere he goes.
There are people that don't know the rules of that thing. For example, we forget Notre Dame. Now, fun fact: this is actually beyond the facts. Cannot be in the top four. It will. The best it can do, and he went through this. Best Notre Dame can do, fifth. So I mean, you're right. Fact giving.
So how's this? How about we get started on the Memphis basketball preseason?
Yeah, let's start giving little blurbs.
Like, Penny don't want you or me on there.
But I'm saying we got to beat Gary out. He's going to have that.
Yeah, Gary's already got the market cornered.
Don't do that.
I know, but I'm just I'm pretty sure that Woken clip was from our show.
Now, he thinks the Woken clip was. From us, I think it was too.
I remember that. With the phone. I think that was ours. Shout out to the Tigers.
Yeah, but what I am a little miffed on is that you know you took the clip from the interview without the question. You know what I'm saying? You could have had the question there.
They didn't
could have given me a little love, but you did.
You want the blurb.
So, you know what? Here we go.
All right, give some.
You have this team, and you have this coach that in a time when he needs to make the tournament the most, that he's got the best transfer class, according to Evan Mia, in the country. I don't know what Gary said after that. Well, how did he finish it? I'm just saying in the film it didn't finish, but like how did he stick the landing? You know that's the part. But just use that, Memphis. Just use that first line I said, right?
Yeah.
A coach who absolutely has to end the drought of NCAA tournament appearances or lack thereof. This must be the year. It has to be now. Now is the time. Memphis is the place. I can't wait to see how they use that and incorporate that in their mind for the Tigers.
You have this coach.
that's my new one. You have this X. You have this X.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have this Musa Cisse.
you can use the clip of Penny going, turn? After if I leave, it won't be this good.
Oh, that's a good one. You should start with that one. That's a good they could really get him going.
You know, because it puts it all on the table.
Nothing gets me more excited about the season than hearing how bad it's going to be. if Penny's not here. Okay.
If I wasn't here, it wouldn't be this good.
But no, I mean, many people will maybe hear this and think that it is sour grapes. That's what they
want. Well,
that's
what it sounds like on your side of the table.
You know, look.
I said it was a good video.
There's a lot of things that you have to come to grips with in this life, you know, and that's just, my voice is not going to be on a Tiger montage. Mm-hmm. It's just not. You know, maybe women's soccer. I asked that beautiful
Brooks.
Question.
Nah, he likes Jeff.
Well, we can't even get that. I mean, we're just third or fourth in line, aren't we? I mean, we can't do a damn thing right around here. I do want to congratulate Frank Bonner. Frank Bonner made the list.
I'm assuming Jonah's on there too. Just didn't pick up on his voice.
I didn't. Did
Frank? Was Frank picked over Jonah?
I don't know.
If I'm Jonah, I want to be on there.
Selection process. I'm unclear.
Or maybe I don't. I'm not sure. I was never asked to be part of a promo video.
Yeah.
As beat writer. But again, if these were pulled off clips where these guys were talking about them, the Bonner thing could have been a podcast.
Yes, but while we're on the subject of this quarterback, having this quarterback and Memphis football, I tell you what I do like for this weekend. I do like the over in this game. And I'll give you a couple of reasons why. One is, you go back to the last two openers against FCS teams, Memphis has scored 56 and 59 respectively. Mm-hmm. They beat North Alabama 59-0. And they beat Bethune-Cookman 56-14. Now, that did go over the total of 59.5, but it did take two defensive touchdowns, you'll remember, from Bethune-Cookman that were fluky. With that being said, in week zero, North Alabama played the second fastest pace of any team playing.
Mm-hmm.
So they play fast. And their quarterback, believe it or not,
I watched him.
He struggled, but he's a Stanford transfer. He was a 4-star quarterback coming out of high school.
Well, you can tell he's an athlete.
Yeah, that's probably the best that they have ever had at that level, right? I mean, a 4-star guy from Stanford, like, that's probably as good as it's ever going to get. So I think two things. One is, I think North Alabama finds a way to score maybe once or twice.
Yeah, because I told you they got a running back, too.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, I think Memphis' defense will be better. I don't know how much better it will be. So I think they will find a way to score maybe once or twice. And then I think Memphis just picks a number, right? I mean, Memphis probably scores 56-63 on them. I could see this being like 63-14 or something. I think Memphis could go over 61.5 by themselves. Would be my guess. You know, I think that's easily within the realm. Because Silverfield left everybody in until the end last year. I think, you know, the backup, whoever it was last year, only played, you know, he only threw the ball one time. So the starters were left in there for quite a bit. Plus, it's at home, most anticipated season in history. I think Silverfield will run this thing up.
You probably are on the right side of it. The only thing I'd add on, and it goes to your point, is the fact that you want to dominate and leave upon the committee's mind that every game you had was a complete annihilation.
Right? Yeah.
You want to see scores like 59-0 on that resume, particularly when, like we've talked about, so much of it's going to be out of your control. You pick up between a Memphis team that's got one loss and a Boise State team that's got one loss, both Florida State and Oregon. What's going to be the difference could be the way you dominated your schedule entirely. And so running it up, as much as we talked about, it matters in what the net in college basketball, it matters here in terms of, you want to be picked by that selection committee, and particularly out of a group like Memphis in this position, where it'd be that group of five representatives.
Exactly.
You're going to want to see some dominant scores on there. So are you going to keep Seth in for an extra quarter, or to John's point, play him all the way to the end? Maybe so, because you're trying to absolutely dominate the you know, these kinds of teams that are on your schedule, certainly, and you'll want the same thing with Troy.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to want some lopsided scores to impress the committee.
But we know you'll be locked into Thursday at 7 when it's Colorado, North Dakota State.
Yes, that is a Deion. I'm telling you, Deion might be in trouble. They're good.
They're banged up, though. They got big injuries. Their best safety's out. Like, their safeties are NFL, like a top three.
No, I get that. You know, that's cool. But, that's a winning program. That's not just some throwaway game. Like, we're talking about, you know, we expect this FCS opponent, you know, North Alabama. I watched them last week. I mean, eventually they won't be able to play four quarters with you.
Yeah.
I would, in this case, North Dakota State might stand up for four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just be careful, Deion, is what I'm saying.
10-point spread, then, you like the Bison.
Especially with the mojo, man, right now. Deion got you rooting against him, half the country, because he banned a media member.
Yeah.
Just be careful, man, because Deion does not need a season-opening loss.
All right, let's go through real quick here.
All the smoke he's
asking. While we're on the subject of college football, let's go through coaches on the hot seat, according to Pete Thamel.
Please do. We know who's not on here anymore.
That's right. Ryan Silfield is not on the hot seat. Dave Aranda, Baylor, hasn't really got it going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just not been good enough, right? Yeah. So I think that's I would agree with that.
That'd have been down too long.
ACC, none, he says. Big Ten, none, he says. SEC, obvious. Obvious. Do you know who, like, the hottest seat in the SEC belongs to?
Hottest seat in the SEC. It's not Heupel.
It's not Heupel, not at all.
Okay.
Nope.
I'm thinking about the top. It's certainly not DeBoer. It's not anybody up there. And I wouldn't say that it's Lane. His seat is cemented. Who am I leaving out? Somebody obvious.
It's Billy Napier of Florida.
Should have known. Yeah.
I mean, they haven't been relevant, and that's why. That's why they don't come to mind. He's 11-14 with Florida. His buyout would be $27 million.
Who they got this week? They got a chance
Miami.
To make a statement. That's it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.